kind of just been stopped, so I want to do a little bit of catching back up and whatnot. But we've mentioned both in here and on Sunday morning several books, and tonight we've got a number of those in. I would encourage you, this is an old book, a very old book that we're going to have in our library. We sell it for just what we bought it for, $8, The Authority of the Believer. One of the things that changed our lives. And listen, this is by a guy who you hear a lot of criticism of, and it is unwarranted and a bunch of nonsense. I went to his school. It changed my life. I've got two kids that are alive today, a wife who is alive, because that man dared to step out. There you go. Dared to step out and believe God and begin to teach the word of faith. This book here, as missionaries on the mission field, my parents there with a great heart for God, a long time dream realized, and yet no power. And I think I shared a little bit about that the last time we were in here, went into some detail. And this is the book I was talking about. This book changed our lives, and we found out that everything that happens, if you hear it all the time, everything happens for a reason. No, it doesn't. There are some things happen because life without God can be tough. Life with God, how many figured out, can be tough. But we have more than hope. He's given us authority to reign in life. Remember Romans 5:17 that says, how many remember what Romans 5:17 says? It says death reigned by one, speaking of the first Adam. But for those who receive the abundance, receive, everybody say receive, not do anything, receive. Those who receive the abundance of grace, what is grace? What does unmerited favor mean? What does unmerited favor mean? Unmerited. What is unmerited? When you merit something, what does it mean to merit something? See, I'm glad that I slow down sometimes. I'm just moving on, thinking everybody's getting all this. To merit something means that you deserve it. So another way to say it is the undeserved grace. Or you could just say it this way, the undeserved love of God. Those who receive the undeserved love of God and the gift of righteousness, receive. Everybody say it one more time, receive. All you got to do is receive. That's what the Bible says. These who receive reign in life. Reign is a kingly term. A scepter comes into mind, makes a command, points a certain direction, and whole armies move. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness and darkness and high places and so on and so forth. It begins to describe an arrayed army against the things of God. But how many know we are more than conquerors? You're a rowdy bunch tonight. I know it's cold. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. The word reign means it's a kingly direction. How many realize that if we just receive, we can reign in life? By one, Jesus Christ. So, believer's authority, it'll be back here, $8. If you've never heard this stuff, I want you to get a hold of it. You'll find some things in here that you may not have known. It might change the way you pray. Another book that goes along well with this that I believe, I don't know if it's still in the bookstore, changed, Jim Anderson can tell you how it changed his life. It's by Brother Womack called A Better Way to Pray. And it's a good one that goes right along with this. So anyway, if you don't know we have authority, this is a good way to find out and a good book to help you there. Then another one I've mentioned a number of times, is in him. This is a book full of confessions of who we are in Christ. You'll find in here, in the back, he's got every scripture listed in the New Testament that speaks of, he's got it listed here in the back, in Christ, in him, in the beloved, in the Lord, in whom, by Christ, by him, by himself, by his blood, by whom, from whom, of Christ, of him, through Christ, through him, with Christ, with him, by me. I mean, there's two whole pages of scriptures that speak of who we are in Christ. Some of us need to talk about, stop talking so much about who we are in our struggles and find out who we are in Christ and watch as struggles fall away as we dare to believe God. I carried this around in my pocket for years. Started at 16 years of age, newly baptized in the Holy Spirit. This book here became like my second Bible because it taught me something. You may not believe it about me, but I had a terrible inferiority complex. I was super, super shy. I couldn't talk to anybody, and the Holy Ghost blew the lid off that. And this little book right here affirmed and confirmed to me. Listen, this is what Romans 10:17 says. It says that faith, everybody say faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does faith come? How did faith come to you when you were first born again? That's really what that's talking about, by the way. How did faith come to you? You heard the Word of God. And you didn't hear just any word, but you heard the gospel. In fact, if you go back to some of the original translations like the Latin Vulgate and others, it doesn't even say faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It actually says in the oldest manuscripts that we have, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Isn't that awesome? Faith comes by hearing. Now, here's the way that the Lord whispered it to me years ago, and it changed the way I read that verse and think about it. Faithful promises. Okay? Faith, let me back up. Faith comes by. Here's the way I heard it. Holy trusting. Fully believing, trusting Him comes through the continual faithful affirmation. How many know what affirmation means? To affirm. Right? Huh? What does affirm mean? Positive reinforcement. Gina said compliment. So those that kind of is, yeah, to affirm. It's okay? So the ability to trust Him comes through the continual affirmation of faithful promises given. Do you have a promise in your mouth and in your heart about your struggle, about your crisis, about the good things in life? We always take it the negative. Do you have that? This is what that is talking about. And I'll tell you what, this book right here helped me change my attitude about who I was and where I was going and the way He looked at me. It's called In Him. These little booklets are two books. Why Tongues? If you're interested in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is a great little book that just kind of opens it up, simplifies it. And this one right here is the main one that I want you to see. These little booklets are $2. This is the one the last time, the week before last. I don't remember how many of you were in here. It seems like we've got a different crowd on Wednesdays. But this was, you remember we talking at quite length about us being on the mission field and how that the Lord began to open our minds. You remember that? And I talked about a little book called Don't Blame God. And what we were talking about is in our study that, I don't know how far we'll get into tonight, but we're looking at the chapter that says, can I really know God? And then the next one which says, is God angry with me? So we're challenging some religious ideas. And I know that most of you in here, this is probably old hat. Be careful. There's always something new to learn about the goodness of God. Again, greater faith, greater trusting, greater ability to believe Him like a child. Are you here? Comes through the continual affirmation of faithful promises. Aren't you glad for faithful promises that in Him or yes and I am, faithful promises given. So that's how faith, trust comes. Now this book right here, Don't Blame God. It turned our little family around because it turned the head of our little family around, my dad. Now those of you that weren't here, I don't have time to go into all of that. But my dad's mother was killed, I believe 40, 41 years of age. But she was in a VW convertible. Hit a tree, flipped upside down, broke her neck, left 7 kids without a mother. The one that she was the spiritual stalwart in the family. She's the one that would load all those kids up in the family station wagon. They were country bumpkins that literally lived in the middle of nowhere. You've heard me talk about my dad. And the devil took her out. But they didn't know that. How many watched Fox News this morning early? Steve and Ainsley and Brian, I can't think of their last names right now, the morning show on the Fox News Network. I'll tell you what, I guarantee you there was no other network that let John 3:16 be repeated so many times this morning as that one. The gospel literally for a solid hour and a half this morning. If you missed it, I'm going to look for it on YouTube and maybe show it in here. The reason what caused all that to take place, this is this morning early, so it'd been like between 5:30. How many get up? Some of you are probably already heading to work by that time. But 5:30, 6 o'clock through to about 7 o'clock. I don't remember exactly how long it is. But if you're watching this morning, you notice that the announcement, the world found out that Billy Graham passed away this morning at 99 years of age. A man who was free of scandal, a man who had a testimony that was true all the way through, true blue, preached Jesus, talked about the goodness of God, and his favorite verse forever trumpeted over and over and over again, whether in king's palaces or in the White House or wherever he was, never compromised. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, and it was amazing. I did not realize how much that, she was a runner-up for Miss USA, or I don't know what it is, the gal, I believe it was her, Ainsley, that's on that morning program. And Steve, who was raised Catholic, sits to the left. And Brian Kilmeade, who has a talk radio show, sits to the right. The three of them this morning interviewed a number of people by phone and on. And I never knew how much of a believer. I knew there was something different about that little gal in the middle. But this morning, all the stops were pulled out, and the gospel just kept going, and it kept going, and talking about how good God is, and they'd run a video. Did you guys see some of that? They'd run a video and an audio of Billy Graham, and it was just awesome. It was really, really awesome. The world, because Fox News, let me tell you something. I've watched Fox News in Portuguese with English subtitles in the airport in Brazil. I've watched Fox News in Guatemala City, in Tegucigalpa, in Mexico. They had Fox News running all over the place in Israel. It's all over the world, okay? Fox News. And this morning, they got a good dose for an hour and a half of God loves you and he has a plan for your life. It was pretty awesome. Powerful stuff. And what a man of God, how we miss him. Of course, his son is certainly stepping in his shoes. But I said all that to throw just a little bit of something else in there. The backdrop of that entire thing was this. They talked about what a wonderful, committed man he was and how that in his later years, more recently, he had come down with, and I cannot remember the name of the disease, but a debilitating disease. And they quoted him more than once. Was it Hodgkin's? Was it Parkinson's? I thought it was something else they mentioned. But anyway, something along that line, for sure. And he said, so trumpeted around the world was the goodness and the love of God. I mean, I'll take it all, even with what I'm getting ready to say. But also blended with that was this. I prayed, I talked to the Lord, and I believe what he let me know was this. So the whole world heard this. That God gave me this disease to teach me that in my later years, I had to be dependent on him. Now that sounds good. And let me tell you something. Let me back up. For a man who was raised in Baptist theology, who would love his God so much, we got a bunch of charismaniacs that if they ever perceived that God put something on them on purpose, they'd be like, see ya, be out. We got a lot of spiritual babies. I admire somebody who, even in spite of bad theology, loved God, trusted him. He said, I have to believe by faith in his goodness and his love and in his perfect will for me, even though I don't understand why he allows and sends certain things our way. Now, that's utter confusion. I get it. But here's a man who never faltered in his love for God. It's a little picture of Job. Yea, though you slay me, yet will I serve you. That's pretty amazing. Now here's the thing though. There's a better and a higher knowledge. He's not the one who sends disease. He's not the one who sends disaster. So the whole world heard once more the gospel. You know, you ever eat a biscuit and had a hair in it? It was good, but it was... I remember one time years ago, this has nothing to do with anything, but I remember one time years ago, we went to one of the roughest places I had ever been in Honduras. They had no roads. There's nothing in their Sally but mule trails. It was in that same place where a guy who was known to have killed two other men, carried a pistol, a bunch of people that carried pistols, it was the Wild West, found out we were there to preach the gospel. He singled me out, tried to make me lend him money, and when I refused, because he was already drunk, he headed off. He'd come that night to see the meeting. He got mad, headed home, which was about a mile away, to get his pistol to come back. He said, I'm going to kill you. And the pastor and the families that were there were so freaked out and worried, they said, you must go. He's already killed two men. You need to go. They literally made us pack up our stuff. The meeting was over. It didn't matter whether we wanted to be brave and stay and command the guy in Jesus. It was over. Everybody was freaked out. They were scattering. The gunman was coming back to the little town. I mean, this place was rough. We were there another time, and I remember we're sitting there in this little, just half adobe and half log shack, and I'm watching the ladies. There's no water there at all. They're carrying water up in little things like this from down, way down in the river. So water's precious. There's a latrine over here off to the right, and literally a can full of corn cobs. That's all there was for the latrine. You thought that was just Kentucky. I'm here to tell you it was in Honduras too. And those little gals, you'd see them go in there, and the little blanket flap would go over, and they'd come right back out and go right back to patting tortillas. Woohoo! So that's when you need to know your authority. So they came back, and they'd come back and forth. And I remember the two guys, I was with a guy, a missionary from Canada, who had just recovered. He almost died in the hospital from hepatitis. He had his father-in-law with him. And then we had a young soldier boy, army boy, that was born again, found out about us, and came up and stayed where we're at and happened to be with us on this trip. So the four of us are sitting around this table, and I can see the longer we're there, the greener around the gills these guys are getting. I mean, it's getting rough. And so they bring us our food, and they have a little salad. They have some beans, some red beans, dark red beans, Honduran red beans, and then they've got some tortillas off piled up here on the table. And then some eggs. And I could see the fear in Karsten's eyes. And I don't blame him. I mean, he almost died of hepatitis. Literally. He was weeks on end, just hanging on a thread. So I can see Karsten and his dad, Lawrence, and then this young boy, Steve, that's over here. And we're sitting around the table. And I can feel just that same fear and the nausea creeping up your, you know how it does, creeping up to your throat. And I heard the Lord speak to me. It was beautiful because I was a young guy. I was learning a lot of stuff. I was believing God. We were trumpeting the Word of God. And I'm sitting there and I heard the Lord say to me, almost audible, just thank me. And one of them said, we ought to pray over this food. I could see there was total fear. And I said, I'll pray. Because I knew what was going to happen. Father, in Jesus' name right now, we bind every disease and every sickness and everything. And after a while, you're trying to be in faith, but you're actually focusing on every horrible thing you can think of. And the Bible says, just receive. There's that word again, people. Receive with thanksgiving. Well, I heard the Lord say to me, just thank me. True story. Just thank me. To this day, I pray that way most of the time over my meal. I said, I'll pray. They said, okay. And I said, thank you, Lord. Picked up my fork and went to eating. And the first thing, I'm not exaggerating, the first thing I did was hit them pretty yellow scrambled eggs. And the first cut into those eggs, I picked it up and a big old long black curly hair popped up and rolled down around my fork. True story. I pulled it out and kind of flicked it off behind me. And I'm eating away, got into my beans, chipped a tooth on a rock in my beans. This is all happening the same time. When I got to my salad, reached in there and got a good bite of it, and it was okay. Water tasted a little funny, and got another one, and a tick. True story, a tick crawled out from underneath my salad right off the edge of my plate and on the table. I smashed him with my thumb. Now, typically, that'd be three strikes, you're out. But I want you to know something. Ringing in my ears was just thank me. I gathered myself together again, girded up the loins of my mind, as Paul said, thanked him again, and I ate with gusto. Do you know that for an entire year, I watched everybody around me get hit with stomach. I'm not bragging, it's just the way God spoke to me. There's something called the gift of faith. And it's kind of odd because for an entire year, I'd sit down in the most awful situation. I was at another place where we ate, what do they call that? It's the largest rodent in the world. There's a ton of them in Brazil. They got them in Louisiana now. Yeah, they're a great big thing. Well, yeah, whoo, we were eating those and eating some kind of juice that had the texture and the look of snot. It must have been like aloe or something. And it was about all we could do to get, I mean, it was rough. But you know what? I heard, just thank me. And for an entire year and place after place after place, I'm here to tell you, I didn't have one stomach disorder. I enjoyed every stinking meal. No emphasis on stinking necessarily, but I enjoyed every meal that there was. And I remember when I got home to the States, it was like I knew. He said, now when you go back, you're going to have to stand on your own faith. And I had a couple little hitches and got back on top of it because now I had great confidence. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the continual affirmation of faithful promises given. Okay, now, all that had nothing other to do than with the hair in a biscuit. And the hair in the biscuit. How'd you like that rabbit trail? Did you enjoy it? You get that? So the hair, the hair in the biscuit this morning was, it was so wonderful to hear the goodness of God. And John 3:16 for a solid hour plus heralded around the world, Fox News. But there was a hair in the biscuit, and it was this idea that God is behind our sickness. Can we really know God? Well, this book right here, my dad served in ministry. He ended up going to Florida, trying to get an inroad there with missionaries that had come back from Cuba. That's why I was born in Florida. Never saw it until I was 25. Left when I was 9 months old. Spent years in California establishing new churches. Started out as home churches. And they'd work in a building, turn them over to a pastor. Started six works there when I was a young guy growing up. But always in his heart and always wrestling with the denomination, my heart is on the mission field. He finally gets there. But all those years of loving God and in ministry and answering a call to preach, he got 13 years of age, he always harbored in his heart a resentment. Now, this could be a tough thing to say because I realize that people come from backgrounds that may be very troubling. But you can't just dance around everything. So just bear with me. How many in here have daddies that you really love? Okay. How many here, please don't raise your hand. How many in here, although you loved your dad, at some point in your life you resented him? There's a lot of people that did. They love their dads. But there was trouble growing up. Sometimes because of the gospel, we meet back up. Sometimes Life goes on, they pass away, things are never ironed out. Aren't you glad for the grace of God that heals and delivers and softens? Aren't you glad for the message we talked about for several weeks that we can leave the past behind? Like Paul said, this one thing matters. Let the past go and press on forward. Aren't you glad for the power of the renewed mind? Isn't that awesome? But we loved him. Boy, I love my dad. If I have a hero on planet Earth, it's Tom Shaw. And with good reason. That man has stood. You saw him here wrestling at 71, 72 years of age, which, by the way, he had a miraculous deliverance this last week. Has not been the same in over a week and a half. Words spoken in the middle of worship in a little church they didn't even know about. First or second service there. Strong, all that severe dizziness and everything gone. After all that time that he fought. So you saw that, saw his humanness. But that man, I've known him to stand in little mining towns where drunks were coming down the middle of the main street waving machetes demonically. Chopping wire, sparks flying, people screaming and running for the little wooden shacks on each side. Walk straight down the middle of that street and defy them in the name of Jesus and watch them crumple in the face of great faith in the name of Jesus. My dad, he's my hero. But you know, when you're growing up, you go through things. And they were changing. And our world was changing. And I loved him deeply, but there were things that I resented him for. It took some growing up, getting married, having my own kids, to be able to sit and tearfully, in my late 20s and early 30s, ask his forgiveness and come into a relationship that was far better than... I always had a good relationship. We had a solid home, but come into a relationship that was really deep. As I begin to understand some things, I loved him, but there was a time when I resented him. My dad loved God. Bible school in his teens, heard the word Guatemala. Had to look it up on an atlas to see where it was at. That's where our life was changed. Hero, but I resented him. Time, because of my own immaturity or a lack of understanding. And he was, like I said, he was changing. He went from a very legalistic, hard, out of love, but it was what they knew, to a dad who got filled with the Holy Spirit who changed a lot. But I was the oldest and took the brunt a lot of that and carried it with me. What a beautiful thing when God heals that up. My dad resented his father. He loved him. But he took his mom. We didn't. This little book right here, it's funny how I'm introducing books and it 100% ties with our theme. So whether we get to tonight, I'm not even worried about it. This book right here changed his life, and in turn changed our family's life. And the title of it is, Don't Blame God. $2, it'll be in the bookstore. It goes right hand in hand. I asked Jackie if we could somehow have these, just for what I'm doing right now. He has in the name of the first chapter is Why Me? And it starts out, often before you can receive anything from God, you must find answers to the questions that are keeping you from receiving. As long as questions crowd your mind, there will be doubts in your mind. There will be, and as long as you have doubts, your faith will be hindered. He says, I know from my own experience on a bed of sickness that there were questions in my mind that had to be settled before my faith could be effective. I had to find the answers myself. That is the reason I was bedfast 16 months from the ages of 15 to 17. Sometimes it would take me weeks and months to find the answer to a question, and just about the time I found one answer, the devil would bring up something else. For a long time, the devil tried to tell me that God had afflicted me and was punishing me for wrongdoing in my life. Brother Hagin will tell you, he was a mean little runt. Skinny little old weak Texas kid with a mean streak. Talks about hitting a kid over the head with a brick and all kinds of stuff. He said, for a long time, the devil tried to tell me that God afflicted me, was punishing me for some wrongdoing in my life. I listened to this for a while, but finally I said, devil, I was born this way. I was born with a deformed heart and serious internal trouble. What would be the use of God's punishing me for something I don't even know about? That must not be true. Sometimes the devil would say, you're sick because of something your parents did. That is what the disciples thought of the man who was blind from birth. They asked Jesus, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Some people misquote Jesus' reply in verse 3, neither the man nor his parents sinned. He was sick just so God could heal him. That's not what the scripture says. It says, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. That's the proper rendering of that verse in the original. Complete opposite. If a person stopped reading at this point, he might say he is sick just so God can heal him. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing to accuse God of? Here is a grown man, blind from birth, and God made him blind just so he could heal him. What kind of a God would that be? You want to serve a God like that? But people never think. We just take, you know, we drink the religious Kool-Aid and never give any thought and just keep on going. Billy Graham. I'm so glad the gospel was heralded all over the world. I am a little sad about the hare and the biscuit, because people also heard by the multi-gazillions this morning that God will send disease to keep you humble and dependent on him. If a person, I tell you what, I'm still grateful for that guy though. What a hero. What a hero of the faith. Here's a grown man blind from birth, and God made him blind just so he could heal him. If that were true, God would not be much of a God, would he? And I would not be interested in him. But thank God that is not true. Notice that Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. He immediately did the works of God by healing the man. Not striking him with something, by healing the man. The works of God was healing him. Acts 10:38, how Jesus, write that down. Some of you may not be familiar with that verse. Write it down, memorize it. Acts 10:38, how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. May not be popular nowadays, but it's still the truth. He goes on, he said, when the devil saw that I was going to believe in healing anyway, he tried to convince me that it was not God's will to heal me. He said, healing is real, but it's not God's will to heal everybody. You're one of those that it's not his will to heal. Many people believe the lie that it is not God's will to heal them, yet it is illogical to believe that God heals and at the same time believe that he won't heal you. I rejected this argument too. I kept searching for answers. All I knew was that I had heard preachers and other people say, what I'd heard other people say. Some said, your sickness is God's work. God is doing all of it. I could not accept this explanation. Others said, well, maybe God didn't commission it, but he permits it for a purpose. It's always from the very beginning. He said to Eve, that's where we would have gone if we would have started with our lesson tonight. Did God really say? Never changed. And Adam and Eve, here's something that we need to remember. Adam and Eve demonstrated the fact that they did not really know God. They did not have any revelation of his love for them, for they ran and hid, covered themselves in their shame, ran and hid. And religion has reinforced that with great pictures of a mighty angel with a sword kicking them out of the garden and garden. Listen, that's not what happened at all. God knew exactly where they were at, but the Bible shows us that the Father is heard walking through the garden saying, Adam, Adam. God, he knows where Adam is. He wasn't talking about that hiding place. He was talking about the break of fellowship because of sin. How he loved his prized creation. And the Bible clearly says, if you read Genesis, I'm going to take the time, but I'm not. I'm going to finish here and we'll dismiss and we'll get to our lesson later. This is our lesson. What am I talking about? This all fits right in line. You enjoying this? I am. If you continue reading there, you'll find out that God removed them from the garden. He didn't kick them out with a big old boot and cuff them on the ear as they were going by. It says that he removed them from the garden because for them to live in a place where they had the tree of life and the knowledge of good and evil. Your Bible says this. They would live forever with that fallen knowledge. He said, this can't happen. You got to go. The first murder. Think about the first murderer. How many know who he was? Kills Abel. We see their types and shadows that are incredible. The shepherd and the farmer. Works and grace. And one kills the other. But God, even in the middle of all that, marks him and protects him. Think of that. Protects him from the repercussions of his own. Not just any sin, people. The first, not just murder. The first one. The one that got the ball rolling on killing people. Are you here today? We just had this horrible tragedy that happened. All the result. What we just saw in Hollywood. Horrible. I hope we're praying for those people. In Jesus' name. It's amazing how the political pundits are trying to steer it to something that doesn't have anything to do with what happened. I love that article, by the way, and I'd like to have that announced somehow. Dads, that was awesome. Oh, man. Anyway, that's a separate subject. You can the Hollywood, the shooting. But all of that death, Hollywood, Florida. Yeah, the shooting, the high school shooting. All that is death, that horrible atrocity, begin with Cain. And yet God protected him. We got to change some of our ideas about who God is. One of the places we were going to go to tonight was go back and look at some things that the Word of God says about Jesus that are shocking. It says that the men of old who wrote under the anointing of God did not have a full picture. Scattered as their word came together, we saw flashes and glimpses of who he was. Here's a shocker for you. The law was never his original plan. There is the eternal law of God that is his righteous standard that always has been and always will be. But that which was written on stone was never his plan. Think of that. Cain was dealt with graciously. And the Bible says the gospel was preached to Abraham, who was a heathen. And for 430 years, from the promise of Abraham to the law, God dealt with Israel on completely different terms of grace. That's a picture of who God always has been and always will be. You say, well, what about the law? What about the genocide and Joshua? What about all these things? Let me tell you something. They saw pictures and flashes and glimpses of who he was, but the Bible itself, Hebrews 1, makes it very clear. God spoke to men of old and prophets, and what they spoke of was veiled. Jesus said that the purpose for which he'd come was that the Father would be revealed. So you can deduct from that the Father had not been revealed. They did not know their God. They certainly didn't know anything about a devil. Think of this, David, psalmist, king, type of priest. A man who knew grace well beyond his years uttered these words in Psalm 51 and Psalm 40, whatever it is. There's several places I could pull them out for you. Maybe we'll look at it if we have time next week, where he utters these words by the Spirit of God. Sacrifices. Blood sacrifices. Thou hast not desired. But a contrite. And he was getting peeks and glimpses of who God really was. God never desired to work through all that. Men insisted, and God says, here, have it. It's found in Romans 1. Did I lose you? Romans 1 puts it this way. Starting in 16, that all of us know, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? Good news of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Hebrews 1. The express image, the exact stamp of Father God. John 14, 9, speaking in response to the disciples, Jesus says, how long? You're asking me to show you the Father and that'll be enough? How long must I be with you? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, says that which was glorious had to go away so that which is much more glorious could come into place. This is 2 Corinthians 3. Read it, it's beautiful. He says, men still stand today in synagogues preaching the law, and in doing so, they veil. Jesus is hidden from the hearers. And the more important thing is, Jesus came to reveal who the Father really was. There's confusion in the old. I'm not saying it's not perfect, infallible, wonderful, ordained of God, anointed. It is the Word of God, infallible. Are you here tonight? But infallible in its pointing through broken men, through people who didn't see everything clearly, everything supernaturally, infallibly, inerrantly, pointing towards the Messiah. It never was pointing to itself. It didn't point itself to another book. Jesus, when he left, did not come up with an alternate Book of Mormon for the Christian church. He said, the book, he says, you, look in the Gospels. We'll look at some of this stuff more closely in time to come. He says, challenging the rulers of his day, the Jews, he says, you search in scriptures, in the scriptures, thinking you'll find eternal life. He said, but they all point to me. The book, beautiful, the Bible. The Word of God was never intended to replace the Word of God, but it points to Him. How many know this is precious? Words of life. We can believe every word. But this points towards the whole point. And then when Jesus was here, He said, I got to go, and I'm going to give you another book. No. He said, the book spoke of a time when you would no longer have a relationship with me through a book, through words on stone. All of it pointed to me. And now, the living Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are you hearing me tonight? He said, what I'm going to leave you is the Holy Spirit, who will bring to your remembrance the things that I have spoken to you. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Not words out of Ecclesiastes. Now I can read the anointed book of Ecclesiastes and see the broken work of man and the confusion. God lays it all out. We see everything naked. We see the faults in David's life. We see the fault of men. And yet all of it supernaturally pointing to Jesus. The point of the book was the Word. I'm glad for the book. Are you following me? I'm not taking anything away from this at all. But I'm adding much more to the point. And it was Jesus. I'm very glad for Jesus tonight. The thing is, if religion can get us confused and keep us back, listen to what Paul calls the law in 2 Corinthians 3. He calls it a ministry of death. In other words, man's separation from God required a schoolmaster of death to bring the truth home because they were separated from God. But it was never God's intention. He said, I'm the Lord God and I change not. Jesus said, I'm Him. We're one. I only do the things that He tells me to do. Either there's confusion or they didn't have the whole picture, and the whole picture now is found in Jesus, who is the express image of the Father. So here's the point of all this. Never let the Old Testament cause you to doubt who your God, the Father, your Father God, is for you now under the new covenant. You can see who He is without a hitch in the plan because of who Jesus is. It changed my dad's life to hear these words, that God wasn't behind sickness and disease. God didn't take his mama home. I remember coming out. I would have been at that time, I'd have been roughly 16. It was right that same year that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember coming out, and my dad had been up like many times all night, sitting out by the wood stove, and he was choked up. He said, I didn't know. All these years I thought God. He said, I had an experience where I was able to let it go. Say, Father, I didn't know. For the first time, he read the words, as you read on here, he read the words in context of Jesus. We hear it all the time. It just kind of goes over our head. But do you realize what God of eternity past and eternity future? Of course, there is nothing like that. That's words we use to describe something we can't understand. Stands as Jesus, and he says, I'm here to tell you that in this world it is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come. I who am the perfect express image. In the Greek it says the icon, the very image of God. I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Peter goes on to say that everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been given to us through Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, when he got a hold of that, our world changed. I'd heard about miracles all my life. I'd seen all the miracles on a flannel graph board in Sunday school the whole time I was growing up, in basement churches all over the place. But in Guatemala, after we found this out, I got to see miracles. I got to experience them under my young hands. I think I shared last week, one of the first things that happened to me at 16 years of age was my brother Nathan. Suddenly writhing in pain, my parents were miles away overnight. We were up in the middle of nowhere, writhing in pain. Newly baptized in the Holy Spirit, instead of fear, I knew who I was. I'd been reading in Him. I looked up and I thought, wait a minute. And just like that, the Lord opened up my eyes and I saw a demonic spirit hovering over His body. And I said, in the name of Jesus, come off of him and get out of here. My brother, that quick, sat up. I'll never forget it. Nathan, some of you know Nathan, tremendous worship leader, sat up almost instantly. He says, oh. He said, what was that? I said, are you okay now? He said, I'm totally good now. Totally good. What's our first response? Come on, what's our first response? I have to confess to you that there's been a whole lot of time since that experience. That wasn't my first response. Should be. I should know better. I should know. Young, tender, right there. God made it clear. But it's never too late. Let faith. How does faith come? How does faith come? How does trusting in Him like a child come? Trusting Him. Believing Him like a child. Comes to me in waves over and over again. As He continually, constantly affirms His love for me through faithful promises given. We were reading in the men's group this morning, Psalms 103. David in his time of struggle. I can hear him shouting, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." I'm telling you, boy, bless Him. Here's why. Forget not His benefits. Here's what they are. David knew them. He enumerated them. You've dealt with the sin issue. You've dealt with the sickness issue. All is the word he uses. You've crowned my life with tender mercies and loving kindness, and you're restoring my youth. He was shouting. Psalm 18. Enemies coming against him. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer." He goes on to speak of a buckler, a high tower, right on down the line. And then he says in the next verse, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So, in this way will I be saved from mine enemy." But you know what? That kind of confidence is eroded when we got a hair in the biscuit. Well, I hope he will. He might. Listen, we can know God. Jesus shows us who he is. In fact, I don't care what you think you've been told and what you've seen in the old, he is. He declares it himself, and so does the new covenant word. He is the face of our Father. You want to know what he looks like? You want to know who God really is? You want to know his nature? You want to know what he behaves like? You want to know how he feels towards you? Study the ministry of Jesus. We're going to look at that a little closer next week. I'm done. Wasn't that fun? Praise the Lord. I didn't crack the books or nothing. I cracked these books. Aren't you glad for Jesus tonight? I love how David, he presumed on God in spite of the law. He saw something that the average Joe back then, even those penning under the anointing of God, he saw something that they didn't see. The law, he should have been killed for what he did. Not only was he not killed, but suddenly he came to his senses and said, I'm adding a little bit to it, but you know this had to be run through his mind. I may die doing it, but I'm taking a bath and I'm going to go worship God in the temple. And God said, wow. And God said, wow. Anointed prophet and king. 83 some supernatural prophecies of the Messiah in his writings alone. Psalm 22, supernatural, speaks of the nails in his hands, the scar in his side, of the soldiers that cast lots for. There's no way. You heard when we started this whole deal, to what odds that's possible that would be a prophecy that would be fulfilled. It's astronomical. It's impossible. Yet this man who murdered presumed upon the grace of God before grace, like Abraham, he believed. And he saw into another world and lived in part in that other world. He says, I've seen something, and God didn't want bloody sacrifices. He wanted a humble and a contrite heart. God did not want sacrifices. He wanted us loving him back. Hosea says, loving him back. Beautiful stuff. Are you encouraged tonight? Can we know him? You betcha we can know him. Jesus isn't just a door. Let me tell you a secret about a father's love. Remember that one? Whoever wrote that, I think it was George Strait sang it, but I think it was Overstreet, I believe. Could be wrong. Huh? I don't know the whole song. Listen, the secret of the Father's love is revealed in Jesus. Holy and complete. Can you know Him? You bet you can. Is God angry with you? Come back. I'll show you in Scripture. God isn't even one little bit miffed at you. I don't care how big of a failure you are. Not even a little bit. All of that was fully exhausted in the Son. That's got to become the heart knowledge. That means something hits you. It's no question. The first reaction. That's why I love telling that story when I got smashed into that wall. I can still hear Jackie. She's a little old teeny thing like Rebecca. And she was jumping up and down. Jesus! 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 She said, what are you doing? Praying in tongues. Don't let that freak you out. It's in the Bible. Jesus, that's what came out. And to this day, main artery and main vein, they don't know why. Completely severed in two. Medical impossibility. They clotted and sealed on both ends as without blood flow to the rest of this leg for almost 6 hours. Best surgeon in all the Southeast said, well, I don't even understand what happened in there. I just did a miracle. He said, I'm pretty sure I saved his leg. I'm not sure about his foot. Praise God. That's the one I'm on right here. You with me? I know you've heard that a bunch of times. But I never get tired of telling it because I believe in the goodness of God. Can I know Him? Oh, man. The more I do, the less I realize I know. And the sweeter it is. It ain't like I'm climbing and now I know. It's like I know. Whoa, I had no idea. Wait till we get to heaven. I hath not seen. You heard. Paul said, I knew a man who ascended up into the third heaven and he saw and heard things that were unlawful. He was saying, they're just, you can't say it, what I saw. The goodness of God in full demonstration. Aren't you glad for Jesus tonight? Right there where you're sitting, just lift your hands all over the room. Jesus, we love you. Thank you so much for revealing the Father to me. Father, I love you. No resentment here. Total trust. You'll never lift an angry hand. You'll never lift an angry voice. For I see the real you and the one you sent. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes on Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. For God sent not His Son into the world to lift an angry hand and a long, crooked, pointy, condemning finger, enumerating your sins and imputing them. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through His Son would be reunited, redeemed, bought back, purchased, paid for, signed in precious blood that declares that I'm more than a conqueror. I'm healed. I'm whole. I've got a reason to live. I've got a reason to be alive. Boy, people, I could do this all night. Jesus, thank you for these words just settling on the inside of us all over this room. We give you thanks. Thank you for love. I just feel led to say it again. Love that drives out disease. For these things we give you thanks. And if you believe that, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give me those lights. Praise the Lord. Do you enjoy that?
Yes.
Isn't God good?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I can't wait to get to the rest of this. We're going to open this up a little bit more. Amen. The goodness of God. Is God angry with me? And on we go. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I guess you can stand and be dismissed. In the grace of God, have a wonderful rest of the evening. You brave the cold. And I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did.